The 29 artists represented in the show An Infinite and Omnivorous Sky have scanned the heavens and found inspiration to explore poetic, scientific, and geopolitical views of space. The exhibition is curated by University Gallery's director and chief curator, Kendra Pates, who says, "The fascination with the cosmos is universal and a prime subject for artistic exploration."
Poetry, literature, music, science, you know, across disciplines, people historically have addressed the sky. This is an exhibition that could exist in really almost infinite ways because there are so many artists who are addressing.
Yeah, this could be in a science museum.
Right. But I wanted to bring together these particular works, thinking about the architecture of our space, thinking about how these different ideas, mediums, practices interact with one another. There are a lot of lens-based works in the exhibition, but the artists who are using cameras in different ways are using a variety of methods and techniques. We have the halochrome photographs. There are photographs taken with these long distance lenses. We have Dario Robledo's photos. While this looks like sort of a composite of all sorts of nebulae and supernovas, what you're actually looking at in this piece, which is called Survival Does Not Lie in the Heavens, it's a triptych of these three large-scale digital photographs. These are actually the stage lights taken from album covers of live performances from now deceased blues and jazz and gospel singers.
So he's creating his own constellations, his own universe, based on these beautiful lights from performances.
Yeah.
And it really does look like something I would see at the planetarium.
Right. And he's somebody who really engages with concepts of deep time. You know, he has been an artist in residence at SETI, the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence. He's exhibited his work all over the world. Another piece by him called The Dismantled Sun, a sculptural work where it's a wooden box that opens and it has these sort of gold reflective materials in it. But what it's showcasing are cyanotypes, so another early photographic process of amateur astronomers' photos. And so we have this lovely, lovely collection of those.
I see a bunch of clocks over here.
Yes, these are going on the wall today. So these are by Katie Patterson. She is an artist born in Scotland. There are 9 clocks. They'll be installed in a 3x3 grid. At first glance, they look like these large-scale kind of institutional clocks, you know, black frames, white faces. But as you get closer, you see that they are divided into a variety of different segments that vary across the 9 clocks, and they have tiny labels on them. So each clock.
What time zones are these looking at?
So these clocks are calibrated for all 8 planets in our solar system plus Earth's moon, and they show the range and duration of day and night. So there's a 24-hour clock for Earth, but then I think Mercury is over 4,000 hours. And so on the label it will have each of them and how she's calibrated them and what the timing is for them, so you can see across planets.
So it sounds like your artists had to do a lot of research in order to create their work.
Well, you know, those are the artists I'm the most drawn to.
Really, why?
I'm really drawn to the work that keeps revealing itself, where perhaps you have an initial impression of it just by looking at it aesthetically, but where you keep coming back to it, you keep thinking it through, you keep making further connections. I love when it takes me in another direction of research, where I learn about something that maybe I've never even heard of before, whether it's a term, a process, an entire mode of thinking. It's really thrilling to bring works by all of these international artists into our community and think about these conversations we'll be having with the students. Several of the artists will be here during the course of the exhibition, so thinking about facilitating those interactions.
Are you thinking about doing some adjacent programming with the Illinois State University Planetarium?
We are, yes. So one of the artists who's in this exhibition, Kambui Olijimi, will be giving the primary lecture for the exhibition. He has this installation of 13 flags that are digital collages of photographic images of failed shuttle and rocket launches.
What's he exploring with that?
And I think it's a very surprising sculpture. It fills a 40-foot wall, these 13 flags projecting out above your head, and they're very colorful. They speak to the range of what we think of as scientific progress also, but there are a lot of sacrifices that are made as technology progresses. And I think there's a lot of discussion about technology and is it good for you, is it bad for you, what are the benefits? You know, as with anything, there are pros and cons.
It's such a huge part of our lives, we can't help but dig in deep with that.
Yeah, so I think with his, among many things, we're also seeing what can go wrong. And some of the works surrounding that piece, we have Brittany Nelson's Tracks 1, which is a massive black and white brown oil photograph. Its root is an image that the Opportunity rover on Mars made of its own tracks in the Martian landscape. And so right behind these, you could call them failures, I guess, but also they probably did advance a huge amount of knowledge.
You learn from failure.
Right, so they're very complex, but then the right behind them, and sort of framed in by the flags, you have this, in some ways, a celebration of this rover and the two rovers that went to Mars. I think it was Endeavour and Opportunity. Opportunity in particular, I think it kept functioning far longer than anybody expected and kept sending back more images, more data. And this shows a moment when it sort of turned, the camera turned in such a way that we see its own tracks. So we see this like this sort of trace of that machine's existence on this other planet. Humans put this there. Brittany Nelson, the artist, has talked about it as this almost melancholic or forlorn image. And then she has three photographs that are called Sol number 4999, and then each of the three have their own number to represent where they fall in the series. They're sunrises over Mars. So that's what these three photographs we're looking at from here are. So we're standing about 30 feet away from them at the moment, and they look like these sort of brown and gray toned, very subtle, small 8x10 photos where there's maybe a small circle within them, but as we approach, they become almost this like golden metallic where you have to keep shifting your perspective to find that orb, to find that sun. So I think with the exhibition too, there are different ways that people will be positioning themselves to see, in part because something like that with that material is very reflective, but there are differing scales, differing materials.
There's a lot of great stuff here. Looking at the sky and thinking about science and thinking about beauty and thinking about time. But what about thinking about paranoia? Some of those whizzy things flying around us up there are keeping an eye on us. Is anybody exploring that idea?
Yes, we have two photographs by Trevor Paglen, who is an artist most widely associated with work about surveillance, security, NSA, CIA. So one of them is this large-scale sort of red to purple-blue, really sublime skyscape, but it's untitled Predator drone. It's so painterly, but within this is demonstrating how the sky is being used. There's another one called They Watch the Moon, which is a photograph from 2010 where he used a long-range lens and photographed this environment, I think in Virginia, but it's like a radio free zone. So it's a listening station and you see all these satellite dishes and it's nestled in the midst of this really lush remote landscape. The lights there are just like these orbs and the satellites almost look like balloons floating within it. And then in that same area of the gallery, we have an installation of seven iPads, and that's an artist, James Bridle, who's based in the UK. And six of them are data visualizations. So these videos presented on iPads on the screen or on the wall about weather control and how it can influence elections. And then there's a, I think, 53-page essay that's available on the PDF that you can read through on the iPad that's positioned next to it, but also on the exhibition label. It has the website for his project.
There's so much technology related to this particular exhibition. Has that given you a few challenges here?
You know, there are always a few things to troubleshoot with any...
Trying to be optimistic here.
With any exhibition.
What do you hope people get out of this exhibition when they come to university galleries?
I hope that it's the type of exhibition that prompts a great deal of reflection. I think a lot of these pieces, a lot of these artists are working in very complex manners. So even if there's a piece that initially seems straightforward, the more you know about it, and we'll have a whole library of books available and a whole binder filled with additional resources about the artists. I hope people are encouraged to sit down and look through these materials, to read the essays connected with them.
Don't skim through the exhibition, really dig deep.
I hope it's the type of exhibition that encourages additional visits, additional thinking. I hope that it introduces the work of some of these artists to our community and to our students. And I think the range of approaches that artists are using, in addition to the complex ideas that they're addressing. You know, I think it's easy for us to get lost in, you know, our daily to-do lists. I'm guilty of this too, as much as I try not to be. I hope this exhibition can, number one, offer a space of slowing down, contemplation. I mean, there are some works that really are about that, but I hope it also nudges some of us out of our complacency. I hope that they help us think about the broader picture.
That's Kendra Pates from University Galleries, where you can see An Infinite and Omnivorous Sky now through February 19th. I'm Laura Kennedy.